You are listening to Wells Tech, episode 577, recorded on Tuesday, November 27th, 2018. Share your gifts. Wells Tech is a weekly podcast exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. It is part of the podcast network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Our show today is hosted by Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. They're also joined by Professor Rachel Feld from Martin Luther College. The focus of today's show is, again, a review of the book Faithfully Connected, a book that Rachel is using in her technology class with her students there at MLC. Chapter 3, Digital Communication and Leaving Your Digital Footprint. What does that look like? Are people aware that you are a Christ follower, that you're not ashamed of the gospel? We really focus on different tools and techniques and the concept of sharing your gifts, using the gifts that God has given you. We've got great picks, community feedback, ministry resources, and a whole lot more. Stay tuned. Hello again, everybody. Welcome back to Wells Tech. And joining me as usual, Sally Draper. Hey, Sally, how are you?
I'm very good, Martin. Happy to be joining you. Happy that Advent has arrived.
Yeah.
It's a season that we look forward
Thanksgiving
to.
Thanksgiving always marks that kind of that transition period where we're just getting over the leftovers and we're looking forward to Christmas. Mm-hmm. Advent hasn't quite hit, but we know it's coming. So a very busy time of year. And it was busy for you this last weekend because you moved, kind of, sort of.
I have a new home, kind of, sort of, a lot. Yeah, we actually moved up in our recreational vehicle, our RV, our home. And Kevin and I were just talking about how the fact we've been referring to it as our RV, but we need to kind of shift gears and shift our mentality, and the RV we're in now will make that easy for us because it's a lovely step up, have a lot more room and a lot more conveniences, and it does feel like home. So good Thanksgiving. Nice. Lots to be thankful for.
Did you have Thanksgiving in the new home?
I sure did. I cooked in my kitchen all kinds of goodies, and it was a wonderful day. Had my mom here with us to celebrate, which was very special.
Nice. Very mm-hmm. nice. And we've reached that week in this month throughout the church year where we invite a very special educationally focused guest, and we have Rachel Feld joining us again. Hey, Rachel, how are you? How was your Thanksgiving?
Oh, it was pretty great. Martin and Sally got to stay around Minnesota, went up to the cities to see some family, had some friends visit me, and didn't freeze, so that was good. It's a little cold up here.
There was no blizzard.
Not yet.
No Thanksgiving blizzard, yes. For those of you just joining the show and don't know Rachel, tell us what you do for a living.
I am the Director of Academic Computing and Online Learning at MLC. I get to, I get the joy of teaching our future teachers about technology in the classroom. And it's just always so much fun. Share things that I love with future teachers.
And Rachel was somewhat the inspiration behind our once-a-month topic. We've been going through a book called Faithfully Connected. Tell us a little bit about that book and why you thought this might be a great book for us to look at on the show.
Yeah, over the summer I was kind of looking for a textbook for my course, which is called Teaching with Technology. But you can get a bunch of integrating technology in the curriculum books, and then you choose that for a textbook, and in like 3 weeks you wish you would have chosen something different because it's outdated. Mm-hmm. So I came across this book from Concordia Publishing House, and it talks about how we can be good digital citizens, and it is written from the perspective of teachers and pastors helping our students just really to let their light shine through the use of technology, which I think is an important focus as we use more and more technology in our lives.
Neat. Yeah, and I've enjoyed the first couple chapters. We are to chapter 3, so if you're wanting to follow along at home, we'll put a link, obviously, to this book. You can get it on Amazon, both in paper format or in digital format. But we're talking about digital communications, and this is I think this is really an important chapter for both teacher and students to totally understand and get, because this is a way of life.
I agree, Martin, and I think it's illustrated really well right from the beginning of the chapter. They talk about a 13-year-old boy getting his first social media accounts and the type of things he might be interested in posting out there, like give me a dare to go and do and things like that, that you know, just really illustrates the fact that we may be tempted to put things online that aren't in keeping with our Christian faith or things that we wouldn't really be proud of somewhere down the line in the future. And that's all about communicating. You know, we have these channels to communicate, but we need to consider what our footprints are going to be as we do that.
You know, I've often thought that I am very glad that I grew up prior to all this digital communication and social media. I was a pretty good kid, but I am glad that I, you know, my friends, my employers, my whoever, can't go back in social media and see those awkward teen years because Facebook didn't exist, so I didn't post anything. Students today really have quite the task of figuring out what to post, what not to post, and how to, they call it a digital footprint, how to manage what the internet knows about you. Because once the internet knows it, the internet doesn't forget.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't take much more than a quick Google search on your name to find out a lot of things that you didn't know were out there. I did myself as we were doing our pre-show planning, and for whatever reason, and that's probably because I'm maybe more public than the other Martin Spriggs of the world, but there's about 3 pages that are just links to my stuff. And I'm with you, Rachel. If I had been like a lot of kids today, tweeting and Facebooking since, you know, 12 or 13 years old, who knows what an employer or anybody might assume about who I am, you know, today in my 50s. That's kind of a scary thought.
Yeah, Googling yourself is something I have my students do, and some of them are pretty surprised at the kind of things that you can find out. There's one of those people finder websites that when you Google my name, it tells you all the people I'm related to, all the places that I've lived.
I saw that too, yeah.
But also thinks that I'm a 59-year-old married person. Mm-hmm. So apparently I've aged and found a husband, right. I don't know.
The 50s are something to look forward to, Rachel. So
it's the new
bad.
30, let me tell you.
Good to know.
But, you know, in our pre-show conversation, you mentioned that your congregation or school where you get assigned or called as a student, especially, it's good to think about the fact that they're going to do those kind of searches as well. And, you know, what are they going to see? Is it going to be a reflection of the Christian that you are? And another point that was brought out in the book was, what about the friends you associate with and what kind of digital footprints they have as well? So it gets really challenging. You can feel a little bit beat down in the process by the law, actually, because we know that, you know, no matter how hard we try, we're probably going to have some mistakes out there in our digital footprints.
And one of the topics that the book brought up was, you know, not just so much does your digital footprint show that you're, you know, a decent human, but does your digital footprint show you're a Christian? And I hadn't really thought about that before. And if you, you know, look at my social media, you can tell that I'm a teacher. You can tell I love my cats. Can you tell that I'm a Christian? And am I letting my light shine through this gift of social media that God has given us? And if, you know, if the answer is no, that's maybe something I need to think about.
Right. And there is, I think it's one thing to, you know, talk to a group of college freshmen, sophomore, junior, senior, whatever, where I think they're beginning to get that. But as these new teachers are going out in the world and talking to their students about this, it's a very different conversation, and I think maybe a much more challenging one to have, to tell a 12 or 13-year-old, think beyond tomorrow. And, what this means, and what this means eternally as well, as you may have friends that are acquaintances or friends of friends who are looking at your post and could be influenced for better or for worse in a spiritual or non-spiritual way. What great opportunities we have or waste.
Right. Keeping in mind, obviously the importance of forgiveness and that whole equation, and that if we do make mistakes, that we are forgiven, and in Christ, in our Christian walk, we know that there is there are troubles out there. But it is important to not only look at it from our perspective, but how we uphold the reputations of others, the people that we're friends with, that we're respectful of what they would like to have posted online or withheld from posting online, and that if we make mistakes in that regard, we're seeking their forgiveness as well.
Yeah, what a challenging environment. I think, Rachel, you're probably having to deal with this as you work with future teachers, that one of the things that they're probably going to see day in and day out, and I know my wife, who's a teacher, every time she talks about social media and her 8th and 7th graders, it's more about, issues of bullying and just behavior that is obviously not Christ-centered, and how you deal with that. And obviously you have teaching moments, but you certainly have some fallout and residue from that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it is definitely, for whatever reason, we know to treat people kindly when we're dealing with them face-to-face, but you hide behind that social media platform and it can become a whole different story. And I think it's definitely a conversation that needs to be had in classrooms so that students understand, God's command to be kind doesn't just mean face-to-face. It means on Facebook, too.
Mm-hmm. There are other angles that the chapter dives into a little bit, like considering your church and school's digital communication, and does it show people that you're a Christian organization and reflect gospel outreach and things like that in the church and school digital footprints. Interesting discussion just this week, I believe, on the Wells Intersections, one of the Facebook groups that we follow, moderated by Pastor James Aderman. There was some discussion around giving people something to discuss. And so if you have a church or school Facebook page, you don't necessarily want it to just be dormant. You want it to have some conversations and things like that for no other reason that it boosts your post into people's feeds. If you have more activity on your page, then more people are going to see that activity on the page. But at what cost? Do you talk about only Christian topics, or do you just invite casual discussion to have friendly conversations? One example was around, what's your favorite Thanksgiving food? Is that appropriate for a church Facebook page, just to have conversation?
One very interesting section, I thought, toward the end, and actually they kind of bring it full circle with the illustration of the young man who was getting on to social media for the first time and trying to build an audience. But what he was doing, or what he was about, was really content creation. He wasn't just kind of consuming content, but he was interested in creating content, and often for the wrong reasons. But there's a segment in the book where it talks about creating God-pleasing content. And boy, there are, wow, a lot of opportunities, I think, in our classrooms to enable that and to talk about that and to give opportunities to do that and model that. And, one of the great uses of social media.
Definitely. And if you look further towards the end of the chapter where there are lesson plans and catechism lesson plans that teachers and pastors can use to spark these types of discussions in their classroom, that's a lot of the focus, Martin, is helping children to our students to envision God-pleasing online presence, maybe making a persona and showing what kind of things they could create, what tools you teach them about or whatever. They mention a few in the book even about storyboarding and green screens and all kinds of neat tools that are out there to do this content creation, but showing what kind of things could be created, helping them to practice that kind of content creation.
Do you explore that at all with your kids, Rachel? You know, the content creation side?
Oh, definitely. You know, we talk about how social media is a gift from God, and it's something that we can definitely use. If you get a viral video to go around, how many thousands of views can you get? And if that video has a Christian message, that's just such a great way to let your light shine that you couldn't do maybe otherwise. And even thinking a little smaller, if you have your kids make something, you know, and it gets posted on your social media page, grandmas and grandpas are going to love that. They're going to share that. And, you know, just add a little tag on the bottom, you know, hey, come to church, or here's when our Christmas service is, or something like that. And just a great way to continue that gospel message throughout.
Good stuff. Yep, I think we all have food for thought in ways that we can make our digital footprint reflect our Christian faith. Very good chapter.
Yeah, and just the concept of intentionalizing that, just making sure that as you go in, it's not just the meal we made, or the new house that we have, or the funny thing our kiddies did, but an opportunity to not be ashamed of the gospel, you know, as Romans says, just an opportunity to say, hey, what's really important to me? I mean, all this stuff is part of my life and makes up who I am, but what's really important to me, you know, is that I have a Savior, and He has offered that salvation to each and every one of you as well. So, boy, what a great opportunity we have in 2018 to be able to share that very simply and easily, and potentially reach around the globe. So, great chapter about digital communications. A lot of food for thought. All right, why don't we move on to, I think we're up to news and tech. And I wanted to, I don't know if this is news, but this is a commercial that's been getting a lot of airplay for the last week or so. Apple came out with a commercial. It's really not about Apple products. You really only see a computer at the beginning, and it's not kind of an in-your-face, you know, buy this MacBook Pro or an iPad or iPhone. It's just it's a commercial, kind of an animated CG-based commercial about a girl who uses a tool to create something, and we're not even ever shown what she's creating, but throughout the first half of the commercial, and this is, there's a 3-minute version of this, and that's obviously got different varying lengths, 30 seconds, a minute, 2 minutes, and 3 minutes. But she's conflicted, and she is kind of shy about sharing whatever it is she's creating. This is kind of a nice tie into what we were just talking about. And at the end of the commercial, her content ultimately gets shared with the villagers, and they're impressed by it. I was curious if you guys had seen that, and if you had, what were your thoughts as you watched this commercial? Because I think there's application here. That's why I wanted to kind of bring it up.
Well, I hadn't seen it before because I don't watch TV with commercials anymore. but, you know, it reminded me of kind of the push in education to share, you know, to create things and then share them. That's a big emphasis when we talk about 21st century learning is, you know, after your students have made something, what are you going to do with it? And, being able to share those things, I think, can be very beneficial.
Yeah, I was actually reminded of some reading I've been doing recently about blogging and that kind of thing. And, you know, a lot of people encourage you to blog if for no other reason, but for personal reasons, just an opportunity to get your thoughts down and things like that. But what I've heard people say is you shouldn't be discouraged by the fact that someone's talking about your topic or doing what you're doing already, because it's a really big world, and you have gifts, as the commercial is titled, Share Your Gifts, and it's okay to do them in, to whatever audience or on whatever platform allows you to do that. You don't have to corner the market on it or be huge or anything like that to engage in whatever method of sharing that you want to do. And I think, again, just like our discussion we just had, you certainly can let your Christian light shine in that process.
Right. This, to me, and I really enjoyed this, and I know this is not Apple's intention. They want to kind of be, you know, viewed as a goodwill and a an enabler for creatives, any kind of creative. And, you know, they're kind of illustrating the fact that there is kind of creativity in all of us, and that, you know, if you use Apple products, you can let that out. But I think the bigger message is, you know, there's stewardship implications, that God has given us gifts, communication gifts, other creative gifts that enable us to do things for and to His glory. And the ability to kind of think about how you can use those gifts, especially this time of year, to share that Christmas joy is just a wonderful privilege. I was kind of reminded of the rather primitive projects and drawings that my grandsons do. You know, they're 4 and 2, so they're not Picassos yet, or actually it's probably closer to Picasso than Da Vinci. But you know, when I get that, I smile because there is an opportunity that was given to them to use some time and gifts and some passion and express that and to encourage that. And there's just so many potential messages that could be shared through these gifts that each one of us has, that wow, what an honor it is to be able to do that, whether you're using an Apple product or not.
Neat perspective. Very good.
Yes. So if you have seen the commercial and you have a thought, I'm sure if you watch TV with commercials,
you can't miss
this. I mean, it's like every half hour you've probably seen this. I'd love to know your thoughts on this and, you know, your initial reaction, and as you thought of it, what it was. So please share that with us. All right, let's move on to Wells Now.
And it is the season, Martin and Rachel, for Christmas concerts. And so if you are at all inclined, the next 2 weekends are definitely the time to tune in to online streaming. If you can't be there in person, all 4 of our higher ed colleges and seminaries are providing Christmas concerts and streaming them live. So coming up this coming weekend, starting November 30th through December 2nd, so Friday through Sunday, there will be Christmas concerts at Wisconsin Lutheran College and Martin Luther College. So WLC actually kicks it off on Friday night. MLC and WLC both have concerts Saturday night and Sunday afternoon. And we'll post the times and links for all of those online so you can tune in if you'd like to listen in on their Christmas concerts. Then the following weekend, December 7th, 8th, and 9th, will be Christmas concerts at Bethany Lutheran College, our ELS sister undergrad and seminary college, and Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary. And so Bethany has concerts on Friday night, 2 on Saturday, and 1 on Sunday. They do it 4 times. They must be exhausted when they're done, but I'm sure it's a great concert. WLS, Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary, does it on Sunday, December 9th at 3 and 7 p.m. And again, all of those are live streamed, and we'll have links in the show notes, or you can just head over to their individual websites and look for the links. They're all pretty much evident on their homepage, because this is the big event to wrap up the end of the semester and proclaim the glory of Christ's birth. So Tune in.
Yep. And again, what a nice tie-in to share your gifts. You know, these people have put in countless hours of practice and are using their gifts to proclaim the good news of their Savior. Wow, that's it's neat to be able to watch them and let them give them this avenue to share their gifts. Just a few short years ago, they were only able to do that to the people who could get to their location. Now the world can see it. So beautiful.
And you can share those same links in your social media. So there's something that
Perfect.
Can add to your digital footprint. When those concerts kick off, put it on your Facebook page and other people can enjoy them as well.
Awesome. Good idea. All right, let's move along to our picks of the week. Rachel, you have a pick this week?
I sure do. Mine is the Ditch That Textbook Digital Summit. Ditch That Textbook is a blog that I follow pretty regularly by Matt Miller. And he has some great blog posts about Google and how to use it in the classroom and all sorts of really interesting things. And these digital summits are kind of popping up in different places as a free online event. They're basically webinars. And this one starts on December 14th. And my only minor complaint is that it is over Christmas break, which happens to be a pretty busy time for a lot of people. But there are 9 presentations. They start on December 14th, and they're open through December 31st. And you can get professional development certificates. So if that's something you need for your teacher license, that's available after you watch them. It's a free thing. And so you can do it, you know, from your pajamas in your living room whenever you want. And the link will be in the show notes. I watched some of the sessions last year and they, you know, they're just really applicable to the classroom, which is what I appreciated the most.
So what kind of things, what kind of topics do they discuss?
You know, it can be a wide variety of things. They've announced some of the speakers, but they haven't announced the topics for this year yet. Last year, it was, you know, some creative uses for Google Slides and some things about using Flipgrid, I think. So it really kind of varies. This year, some of the presenters are Kim Bearden, who's the co-founder of Ron Clark Academy, an individual who's the head of educator innovation at Flipgrid. So just some, you know, some great people in the world of ed tech sharing their ideas.
Neat.
Good stuff.
Sally, you're up.
My turn, and my pick was something I thought of in relation to our conversation earlier in the show on digital communication. I thought it was time for me to go back and check one of my ancient YouTube posts. It's something that I worked with the students in 7th and 8th grade at St. John's Lutheran School on. It's a project that we did, kind of a little puppet show video that we made back in 2007. The title is The True Christmas Story, and the students got involved. They painted backgrounds for their puppets. They made the puppets, little stick figure kind of puppets, scripted the story that they were going to tell, obviously straight from the Bible, and narrated it, recorded it, and we put it out there. And it was a fun project. They were excited about it. We had a lot of fun preparing for it and filming it and that kind of thing. And I'm here to say in 2018 that video has now been viewed 42,956 times on YouTube, which to me is just an amazing number from small town Sleepy Eye, Minnesota, to have reached 42,000 people with The True Christmas Story by 7th and 8th graders. I think that's a perfect example of them, you know, walking the walk and letting their light shine to share the good news. And I think it can be done anywhere. And why not, you know, teach students that they can do that kind of thing? I think it's just a fitting example of what we were talking about earlier.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, perfect fit in. Yeah, nice tie-in. All right. My pick is something we talk about off and on, but it hasn't been a pick for, I saw it as a pick maybe 9 years ago. So it's it's been around a long time and something that I've been using a lot lately, and that's why it's my pick this week. It's called TeamViewer. TeamViewer is a remote, secure remote desktop access tool. It's used for support. It's used for going back to other machines that you might have running. I use it on my iPad so I can get back to a full-blown computer if I need to get at resources or do some printing, those kinds of things. It's a free resource if you use it for personal use. This is something that we've brought up in, I thought it was a relevant topic, because some of us are going to be visiting relatives and some of us are tech support for relatives. And for my mom, I've put TeamViewer on her computer where if she needs an update or has a question, I can just remote into her computer, whether she's at it or not, and be able to do what I need to do without flying down to Florida. As much as I'd like to do that, it's not always feasible for me to be there in person. So having TeamViewer set up allows me to log in, see exactly what's on her desktop. I can transfer files. They've made some neat improvements. They're up to TeamViewer 14. One of the improvements they've made is the ability to support mobile devices. So there's an app for Android and iOS where you can install the app, and then you can look and see what's on the iPad or the iPhone or the Android phone or tablet, and you know, at least see. I don't know if you can totally operate it or not, but you can definitely see what they're seeing, and that's the biggest challenge with support is being able to see what they're seeing rather than have them, who maybe aren't as technically proficient at even describing what they're seeing, you can see what they're seeing and say, click here, click there, or in the case of desktop support, you can actually do the clicking, file management, those kinds of things. Just an invaluable resource. I'd say with my mom, I'm on TeamViewer with her every other month, maybe doing an update, or if there's some kind of, one of the things that she gets trapped in a lot is some of these plugins that get automatically installed in the browser, and she's got this toolbar all of a sudden, and it's changed her homepage, and she can't figure out how to get back to normal. So I've got to go in there and do some surgery and figure that out and update her virus protection, those kinds of things. And just a great tool. There are others like it, but I found that I always usually come back to TeamViewer as a great tool. If you do desktop support for your school or church, this would be something you should really consider maybe putting on everybody's machine so that you don't have to physically be there to support it. We use it at our church for a kind of a headless server where we can get at our shepherd staff database, those kinds of things. Just a great tool for a lot of different things. So TeamViewer is my pick of the week.
Good stuff. I can speak from personal experience of supporting family, and that screen sharing capability is another one of those things that we didn't have a few years ago, and I guess we must have had it 9 years ago if we talked about it that long ago on the podcast, but just something to be thankful for that we can do that level of support and see someone's screen in that way. That's just amazing to me.
Yep. All right, and you use, as I remember, LogMeIn or Join.me. I think that they're owned by the same company, right?
Yeah, I think we've used LogMeIn a good bit. So
good. All right, ministry resource.
Yeah, I'm happy to share a ministry resource that can be used as your devotional material for the month of December. This is from Martin Luther College, and they have quite the reputation of producing some really great devotional books. They do one at Christmas time or Advent into Christmas time, and they do one before Easter as well during Lent. But this one is actually written for the 25 days leading up to Christmas. So if you go and grab a copy digitally of the book, you can get started with devotions on December 1st. That's coming up this Saturday already. And they actually print a whole ton of copies of the book, but I noticed on their website they're already out of the print version. So they have distributed a lot of versions of this devotion book for Christmas this year. The name of it is The Names of Jesus, and each day focuses on a different name of Jesus and Bible verses and devotional material written by MLC professors to support those different names and things. So even though you can't get a hard copy of it anymore, you can view it online. They have a really nice online interface where you can actually turn the pages of the book. It's a really pleasant experience to use their online version, or you can download a PDF and have the file locally and not have to go on the internet at all to get to your devotions. I guess you could even print it if you wanted a paper version. Or finally, they have an option this year to sign up for email delivery. So you can put in your email address and each day you'll get the devotion via email. So however you'd like to consume it, there's some great devotional material available from The Names of Jesus, the MLC December devotion booklet. So check out the show notes for a link to that.
Nice. Another example of people sharing their gifts. A nice combination there, too. They've got the authors there on campus, but they have a print shop that allows mm-hmm. them to print this as well. So that's a neat thing. And they've been doing this, I don't know how many years now, but this is kind of their thing. And they do such a nice job with that. Just kind of the right length for kind of an after-dinner devotion, something like that, or a personal devotion. Doesn't take mm-hmm. a lot of time. Very well written. So, mm-hmm. all right, community feedback time.
Yep, we have a couple of things to mention here. First up, came across a television segment from the local Milwaukee news station, TMJ4, where they visited Shoreland Lutheran High School and did some interviews around technology in the classroom. So I thought it was real appropriate to share here on the podcast. And it was interesting, something I hadn't thought of, but high school students are clever and they've apparently thought of asking Siri the answer to their homework. And so rather than working out their homework themselves, they say, "Hey, Siri," and Siri helps them along in some cases. And so there was some discussion, teachers and students represented in the video, and even an expert that they called on from a website called Raising the Capable Student, which is a website I hadn't heard of, but one maybe worth checking out as well. So view the video and check out that website in our show notes and community feedback.
Interesting. Siri is not usually that informative to my questions, but you know, if you kind of keep it maybe on the high school level, she might do a little bit better. There was a news article that brought this to mind as well, that you can now use the Shortcuts app on iOS on an iPhone or iPad to have Siri invoke Google Assistant. So you say, "Hey Siri, okay Google." And all my devices are going off here.
Doesn't that mean you owe me donuts? Isn't that what that means?
Yeah, I'm never going to get past that. But that would invoke, in my opinion, the smarter of the two assistants on your iOS device. So a little bit kludgy, but kind of fun. So
yeah,
dueling assistants.
Yeah, our next topic in community feedback is something that Rachel maybe is a bit familiar with. It comes from a Facebook page called Tech Tools for Wells Teachers. Does that ring a bell with you, Rachel?
Just a little bit. It's a Facebook group Rachel Pearson and I started just as a way to, you know, there's so many tech tools. There's no way that one person can know all of them, and I just want to know what teachers are using so that I can introduce my students to the things that teachers are finding actually useful in the classroom. So created this group on Facebook. I'd love for all our listeners to join if they're on Facebook and share their favorite tech tools. Jason has jumped in there, and I'm hoping for a good place for discussion around tech use in the classroom.
Good stuff. And I've seen some great discussions. Actually, we've shared some great discussions already here on Wells Tech. And one that happened over Thanksgiving, Jason Schmidt threw out the question, create a thankful graphic and share the tool you use to create it. And so we have a good list of image editing type tools that were shared by the people that participated, from WordSwag, Adobe Spark Post, Phonto, I wasn't familiar with that one, PhotoGrid, and PicCollage. So there you go. If you want to make digital communication imagery and you want to add text to it, perhaps a Bible verse, you can use all those different tools to do that. And we'll have links to those in the show notes.
Very nice. And Sally, you should remind our listeners, as usual, where they can contribute to the show.
Yeah, I mention those show notes a lot, don't I? But I guess people need a URL to find them. That would be wellstech.wells.net. If you visit that site, what you're going to find is a whole slew of archives of Wells Tech from the past. We're up to show 577, and you can listen to the whole arsenal of them out there. And you can also find all the links that we talk about on each show documented for you out there. In addition, we have links along the top right to all the different social media platforms where you can let your light shine and let your Wells Tech light shine for resources and things that you're making use of in your ministry settings. So you'll find us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram. You can email us, you can voicemail us, you can join our listserv, whatever your different desires are. We've got links out there for you to make use of.
Very nice. And thanks to all those who do provide feedback. Keep it coming. That really makes the show a little bit more diverse and helps us understand a little bit more about what you'd like to hear about. So, all right, I am Sally. I'm really excited about the video of the week. It's actually kind of a musical playlist of sorts, but from our good friends at Koine.
That's right. It's from last Christmas. They published a video on YouTube. It's titled 2 Hours of Christmas Songs, and all of them Christmas hymns are from Koine, and it's set to a fireplace look, so you can put it on your computer and gather around the cozy fireplace and hear 2 hours of Koine music playing in the background, all kinds of great Christmas hymnody. So check it out, add it to your music playlist, and enjoy it over the Advent and Christmas season.
Neat. Thanks to Koine for doing that. I'm excited to try that. We're going to do this again next week, and I'm very interested to see how next week plays out. We decided that we are going to kind of do a rundown, Sally and I, of the apps we use on our mobile devices, but not just any apps, apps that we've decided have been worth buying or spending money on. Everybody loves a free app, but you know, we're not going to talk about the free apps. We're going to talk about those apps that we felt were, you know, made the list. So that's going to come up next week, where we're going to go through our apps that we spend money on. Good, hard-earned greenbacks.
I'm laughing when you say those code words. I'm interested to see how this plays out. That means you better tune in, folks. We have no clue what this is going to be like.
I'm wondering whether Sally has ever purchased.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if the ones I've purchased have really been worth it. That's kind of
that's
a question
right.
to ask,
too. That'll be interesting, too.
Should be
All
fun.
All right. Was it good stewardship or not? Yes.
Yeah.
So, Rachel, thank you for joining us again.
You're welcome. It's always a pleasure to be here.
You always bring your A game and a great conversation on faithfully connected and digital communications. Blessings on your work there and on your vacation coming up. Or I don't know how much of it a vacation it is. I'm sure teachers are always on, but I hope you have a blessed Christmas.
Well, thank you. I hope you guys do too.
Thanks, Rachel.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. And we will catch you for episode 578 next week.